Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today we are doing a deep dive into something that honestly I think has the potential to completely rewire how you approach your daily life.
Oh, absolutely. It's a total game changer.
Right. Because I want you to just, picture this for a second. You've had one of those chaotic days.
We all know those.
Exactly. You're exhausted. Maybe you've been juggling the kids all day or stressing over exams, or your feet are just aching from a long shift at work.
Yeah, just that bone deep tired.
Yes. And you finally sit down with a cup of tea and you just think, does anyone actually understand my life right now? Like, really get it?
And that's exactly where this month's topic meets us.
It is. We're looking at the August 2026 prayer guide, which is titled Experience Jesus, Human and Divine. And our mission today is to, completely flip the script on how you pray.
Which is so needed, honestly.
Uh-huh.
Because we tend to view God as this, this distant figure on a far off throne.
Right, like he's untouchable.
Exactly. But this newsletter is a blueprint to move away from that and actually encounter the real living Jesus of the scriptures.
And not just as a historical figure, but as this incredibly sympathetic friend who, and this is the kicker, is also an all-powerful sovereign ruler.
Right. It takes that exhaustion you mentioned and turns it into actual spiritual victory.
So let's just jump right into that, because I think a lot of people feel like their prayers are just, hitting the ceiling and bouncing back down.
Oh, for sure. It's a really common frustration.
Why do you think that is, based on what we're reading in the guide this month?
Well, the text argues that it's because we have a completely incomplete picture of who we're actually talking to.
Okay, unpack that a little bit for me.
So it breaks down the dual nature of Jesus. First, his humanity. Like you said, he isn't some cold, distant historical figure. He walked dusty roads. He felt burning heat.
He actually needed to sleep.
Yes. He felt physical fatigue. And emotionally, when you grieve, the guide reminds us that this is the same Jesus who stood at Lazarus's graveside and just openly wept.
Which is so powerful.
It really is. He felt betrayal. He felt rejection, that heavy ache of loneliness. The guide leans into Hebrews 4.15, calling him our sympathetic savior.
Right, because he gets it on a human level.
Yeah.
And this is the shift. He isn't helpless.
Exactly. That's the divinity piece.
Mm.
The same Jesus who wept is the one who commanded a dead man to literally walk out of a tomb.
It's kind of wild when you put those two images right next to each other.
It is, but you have to.
Yeah.
Because he has absolute authority over physical illness, over, spiritual darkness, financial lack, all of it.
Okay, so let me see if I can use an analogy here. It's almost like having a best friend who intimately knows all your deepest, darkest insecurities.
Uh-huh.
But that same best friend also happens to be like the CEO of the universe and has the power to fix those insecurities instantly.
That is a perfect way to put it.
So how does shifting our mindset to that from this distant deity to a sympathetic savior, how does that actually change the atmosphere when we sit down to pray?
Well, it completely removes the shame, for one.
Oh, that's interesting. Because we do feel a lot of shame when we pray.
We do. We try to clean ourselves up.
Yeah.
But when you realize you're bringing your vulnerabilities to someone who literally felt them in his own nervous system, you stop performing.
You don't have to put on a brave face.
Right. And then from that safe place, you get to watch him resolve those issues with supreme power.
Man, that's incredible theology. But I guess the question is, how do we actually live that out?
And that's where the strategic layout of this prayer guide is just brilliant.
Yeah, let's talk about the structure, because it moves from this intimate comfort straight into authoritative victory.
It does. So week one is all about the sympathetic savior.
Right.
You're bringing that physical fatigue, the emotional wounds, the daily temptations directly to Jesus.
And the trading heavy burdens for rest. I think that's day one, right?
Yep, day one. And then realizing that because he faced severe temptation, he gives us the grace to stand firm. That's the focus of week one.
But then, and here is where it gets really interesting to me, because it's quite a pivot.
Ooh, it's a huge pivot.
Week two hits, and suddenly the focus is the sovereign Lord. And the language shifts so drastically.
It really does. You go from resting to commanding.
Yes. The guide empowers you to pray these incredibly bold, expectant prayers. You're calling on Jesus the healer for physical illness. You're breaking spiritual oppression, securing family salvations.
Yeah, that's around day 12.
Right. But I mean, isn't it kind of jarring? Like, you go from weeping with Jesus, letting him hold you like a warm blanket in week one, to suddenly speaking with absolute authority over your circumstances in week two.
It is jarring. But it's intentionally jarring.
Really?
Yes, because that is the very essence of spiritual formation.
Okay, explain that.
Well, true discipleship requires both of those things. It requires the intimacy, but it also demands authority.
Because if you just stay in week one.
If you just stay in week one, you get stuck in a posture of passive survival.
Yeah.
You just accept everything bad that happens to you because, hey, Jesus is comforting me.
Ah, I see. You just become a victim with a really good comforter.
Exactly. But the guide pushes us to step into faith-filled dominion. You have to have both.
Which brings us to kind of a big hurdle, I think. Because if Jesus is divine, it's super easy for us to assume he just, I don't know, used a divine cheat code to do all those miracles.
The Superman theory. Like, he's just pretending to be human.
Yes. Like, he had access to powers we could never possibly touch. So how does his earthly victory actually translate to our daily obedience?
And that is exactly what week three tackles. It's titled The Spirit-Filled Walk.
His example. Right.
Right. The guide makes it very clear that Jesus didn't rely on his innate divinity alone while he was on earth. He lived as a man completely anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Like in Luke 3 at his baptism.
Exactly. And the radical part is that we are called to pray for that exact same supernatural empowerment for our own lives.
Wait, really? The exact same empowerment?
The exact same, which means developing a deep secret prayer life, just like Jesus did when he withdrew to lonely places.
Right.
It means experiencing the Holy Spirit's joy, even during severe trials. And having this bold witness without the fear of man.
Which the early church had in Acts 4.
Yes. The text shows us that this anointing isn't just for, you know, entertainment or good feelings. It's specifically to heal the brokenhearted and deliver captives.
Wow. So it turns a standard, boring Christian walk into a totally spirit-led adventure.
That's the goal.
So what does this all mean for someone who is, say, mentoring a new believer? Or maybe leading a small group.
It changes everything about it.
Because usually that's just like a study session, right?
Yeah.
We sit around and parse Greek verbs.
Right, just transferring information. But this guide shifts discipleship into modeling how to actually cooperate with the Holy Spirit.
I love that phrase, cooperate with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, because by cultivating a sensitivity to his voice every single day, we and the people we're mentoring learn to actually walk in that supernatural anointing and divine truth.
It's transformational, not just informational.
Yeah.
So once our personal walk is sort of revved up by the Spirit like that, our prayers naturally have to expand, right? Beyond just our own living rooms.
They do. And that leads us right into the final week of the guide.
Week 4, the reigning king.
Yes. This is where we lift our eyes way above our temporary earthly anxieties. And we align with his eternal kingdom.
Which means we're praying for our world now.
Right. We start praying for his glory to cover our local communities. And we're supposed to actually believe that when we intercede, the spiritual atmosphere changes.
That crime drops. That spiritual awakening sparks across the country.
Exactly. We're actively preparing for his glorious return and welcoming eternal peace.
Okay, so practically speaking, because this all sounds amazing, but how do you actually do it?
The guide gives a very clear 4-step pattern for daily application.
And this is whether you've just got 5 minutes on your morning commute or you're doing this dynamically with the discipleship group, right?
Exactly. It scales to whatever time you have. Step one is read. You speak the scripture passages aloud to anchor your faith. Step two is understand. You just contemplate the brief explanation they provide.
Keep it simple.
Right. Step three is pray. You speak directly and honestly using the guidelines they give.
And step four?
Step four is declare. You loudly speak the daily declaration to carry his truth into your day.
I love this structure. It's so practical. But I want to zero in on steps one and four for a second.
The reading and declaring out loud.
Yes. Why is speaking the word and those declarations out loud so crucial? Because, I mean, it feels very different than just reading silently in your favorite armchair. It can feel a little awkward at first.
It can feel awkward, but it is so important. There is a transformational power in vocalizing your faith.
Why is that?
Because it acts as an anchor for the soul. When you just think your prayers, your mind wanders, you get mental fatigue.
Oh, totally. 1 minute I'm praying, the next I'm wondering what's for dinner.
Right. But when you speak out loud, you break through that mental fatigue. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, you are actively enforcing Christ's triumph over the enemy in your daily environment.
You're actually changing the atmosphere of the room you're sitting in.
You're wielding authority.
Man, that is so encouraging. So for everyone listening right now, I want you to grab this August prayer guide.
You really need to.
Seriously. Whether you use it in the quiet of your room or you share these daily declarations with your discipleship group, let this be the month that you step out of passive survival.
No more just surviving.
Exactly. Commit to this four-step daily rhythm. Let this be the month you cooperate with the Holy Spirit and actually experience walking with Christ in his power every single day.
And you know, as you do that, there's a thought I want to leave you with. It's from day 27 of this month's topic, and it just blew me away.
Oh, let's hear it.
It's this concept that when you enter into prayer, you aren't just sitting alone in your kitchen or on a train.
Even if physically you are.
Right. Spiritually, you are stepping into this immense heavenly assembly. You are standing before the glorious throne alongside literally millions of angels and redeemed saints from every nation.
That is, I mean, that changes the whole vibe of a Tuesday morning.
It really does. So as you open your guide tomorrow morning, I want you to ask yourself this. If I truly realized I was speaking in unison with a vast, victorious heavenly host, how would the boldness of my very next prayer change?
That is such a provocative thought to end on, because it really would change everything. You aren't just whispering into the void, you're joining a chorus. So good. Thank you so much for breaking this all down with me today. And to everyone listening, grab the guide, step into that authority, and we will see you next time.